What does matzah symbolize, and what might its symbolism tell us about how we can overcome the daily challenges of sin, the daily challenges of falling into the traps of our ego, and falling into the traps of our character flaws and our human moral weakness? The Rebbe addressed this question in the second sicha for the Kotei Tzichas Parshas Boi in the Kotei Tzichas Chelek Aleph. He says as follows. In Parshas HaChodesh is Eichda, the mitzvah for Achilas Matzah. One of the themes discussed in the portion of Parshas Boi called Parshas HaChodesh is the idea of Achilas Matzah, of eating matzah. The mitzvah for Achilas Matzah is Gibli bin Oich b'zman hazeh midraisa. The mitzvah to eat matzah remains nowadays as a Torah commandment. Bichlau, generally speaking, there are three central ideas, three central rituals on Pesach. One is Pesach, as in the Paschal Lamb, the Korban Pesach. The second is Matzah, the unleavened bread, and then more of the bitter herbs. Uvizmanazem is Pesach, Mernit Vi, Nisham of Parmes Fosein. Nowadays, says the Rebbe, we don't bring an actual lamb, and instead we recite passages in the Torah which refer to the Korban Pesach. So the only way in which we fulfill Korban Pesach is through the verbal remembrance of Korban Pesach. Mitzvah Chilas Maror is nor midrabbanan. When it comes to the mitzvah of eating maror, that's only a rabbinic commandment of mitzvah. Chilas matzah is eich bezman hazeh midrais. But the mitzvah matzah is still a biblical commandment. The chiluk von chometz mit matzah is in Svei Inyon. There are two primary differences between chometz and matzah. Aleph, the first. By chometz, hoit zich oif der taik. By chometz, the dough rises. By matzah, bleibt der taik, there is. By matzah, the dough remains as in the dough does not rise. Unruchli is made thus, and spiritually symbolizes that chometz is yeshus vis nasos. Chometz, leavened bread, symbolizes egotism and improperly raising oneself up. Whereas matzah symbolizes bitul, symbolizes self-nullification. Therefore, is there ikir inin fun matzah lechem enidavke? That explains why the primary idea of matzah is that it is poor man's bread. While their inin fun matzah is bitul. That's because matzah symbolizes self-nullification. And this expresses itself specifically within a poor man's bread. Hagam as esin, megman oich matzah shira. Although it's the case that we are permitted to eat rich matzah, as in dough, which is matzah, but it's mixed together with fruit juice or with eggs. Aber yitzim mitzachilas matzah kemen normit lechem oini. Shulchan Aruch tells us in Erechaim Simen Tovton Dalid that to fulfill the chiyuv mitzvah chilas matzah b'deraisa, the only way you can do that is through eating poor man's bread, as in matzah, which is kneaded only with water and with no other ingredients. Oich di matzah v'asid nam ges mitzrayim is given lechamayin, and the matzah, the unleavened bread the Jews ate in Mitzrayim in Egypt was unleavened bread. Matzah and chometz sein zusammengestellt von dieselbe Isis. So we said that one difference between chometz and matzah is with respect to the physical properties of the two. That chometz rises, the dough rises, and matzah, the dough stays flat. The rising dough symbolizes egotism and raising oneself up, whereas the flat dough symbolizes self-nullification. Now, a second difference between chametz and matzah pertains to the letters of chametz and matzah in Hebrew. So they're made up effectively of the same letters, right? Matzah is mem, tzadi, hey, and chametz also has a mem and a tzadi, but instead of a hey, it has a ches. Nor matzah is mit a hey, matzah is a hey, on chametz mit a ches, and chametz has a ches. Their ois hey is enlich tzuma is ches. The letter hey is similar to the letter ches. They design in from the Rai Kavan. Both are made of three lines. When zainin up von unten, often von unten. And both are opened at the bottom. Their chiluk is nor, the difference between the he and the ches is, as a ches is vermacht von all drei Seiten ganzen. The ches is closed on all of its three sides completely. On a he hat an offenung von oben, whereas they has an opening on top. The offenung von unten in Beida Isis meant, what does the opening at the bottom in both letters symbolize? It symbolizes what Hashem tells Cain in Parshas Bereishis that La Pesach Chatos Ruvitz. Sin crouches at the door. Meaning, sin is always there. Our flaws, our imperfections are always there waiting, crouching to pounce on us and to overtake us. The Farmachung from the Alazaitin in a Chesmeint, the being closed on all sides by the Ches means, as is in the Tokin or Teferiskein from the Pesach Hathas Revitz, there's no way for you to flee from the opening where sin crouches, or sin crouching at the door. You are almost inevitably going to sin. The Ephanim von Oibin, or in Heimeint, the opening on top, by the letter He means, there is takin a matzah from the Pesach Hathas Revitz. It may be the case that you are in a state where sin crouches at the entrance, sin crouches to the door, that you are very vulnerable to falling into sin. You're very vulnerable to falling into flaws. Eret abra Pesach l'mayla. But nonetheless, there's an opening above. Areskin von sein matziv in tshuvatan. You can walk out of the place that you're in and repent and do tshuva, return to Hashem. On Choch, as this is a kleiner Pesach, although it's the case, the opening at the top of the hay is a small opening. Doch zaken over the Rizal, indeed, Chazal tell us, Pischuli, kechodesh al machat, open for me, as much as the eye of a needle, meaning open for me, just a little bit, desire a bit to return to Hashem, durch dem, and through that little desire, v'niyaftach lachem, kepischu shel ulam. Hashem says, I shall open for you like the entrance of a palace, like the entrance of a great hall. V'ru, durch ein hir tshuva ken verin in ein regaf an rosh ha-gomer atzadik. Like the Gemara in Kedushin of Memphis on Beis tells us, from one momentary fleeting thought of returning to Hashem, you can switch from one side of the spectrum to the other. You can change your orientation from that of a rasha to that of a tzaddik. Die zwei chelukim sind abhändig einer von zweiten. The two differences that we just said between chametz and matzah depend one on the other. The first difference, again, was that chametz rises, whereas matzah stays flat. And the second difference is that chametz has a ches in spelling its name, whereas matzah has a hey. And the ches is closed, where the hay is opened, and the hay symbolizes that even though you are vulnerable to fall into sin, flawed character, bad habits, or what have you, there still is a small opening for escape. So the Rebbe says that these two symbolic differences between chametz and matzah are in fact codependent; they depend on one another. B'shas when his bottle is afilu ib min hot chas v'shalom gizindik trach min vegen tshuva. When a person is in a state of self-nullification, when a person doesn't hold themselves to be so high, then even if, God forbid, a person has in fact sinned, the person has fallen, a person has indulged one of their character flaws, since they're in a state of self-nullification, they think about, how can I make this right? How can I repent? However, when a person is in a state of egotism and raising themselves up, then they do not think about tshuva. That er is bottle zuchte nitzumachin zich girecht. Bemele machter erichtigen tshuva. If a person is in a state of self-nullification, they don't need to always be right. And therefore, if they see that they've made a mistake, they've had some flaw, then they engage in the appropriate tshuva. Und as er zet as ein firung teugnit, tut er tshuva. When a person sees that their behavior is inadequate or insufficient, then they return and they try to be a better person. They try to return to their truer good self. Dakegen. In contrast, mitzad gerus halten sich, if a person holds themselves very high, gefindt er cheshbonus of gerecht machen al seine hanhoges. If a person sees themselves to be very lofty and very great, then they can justify any bad thing they do. Nochmer. Nit nor vis nochtem, vi er hot getan, nit kin gute sach. Gefindt er a teretz, of them by er will belieben gerecht bei sich. Nur ich bald de chat chile, bis es kommt zu bekeim seine mitzvah, was er darf sich, Zich abeugeton. Is mitzadam gruishaltung, gefinter ois cheshbeinus and hamim, er zol nit darfin mekayim zan. So Rebbe says, not only is it the case that when an egotistic person missed the mark, not only do they find the reason to retrospectively justify their bad behavior, but furthermore, if a person's a real egotist, then that egotism will hold them back from engaging in positive behavior proactively when opportunities present themselves to a person. Tztaka is doch klolos hamitzvos. We learn from the Gemara in Bava Basra that tztaka is a symbolizes rather the generality, the totality of mitzvos. That in verstehen dem inyan in mitzvos tztaka and von dem in al mitzvos. So we can understand through the mitzvah of tztaka how it is that an egotistical person will not engage in tztaka, and from that we can understand how this person might not engage in other good opportunities which come to a person's way. B'shasher zeth an oriman, tainim teir di tainim v'stronus rufus ar-yosha, hod kifrak b'rabbi kivin. When an egotistical person sees a poor person, he might have the same argument that the wicked Roman governor Turnus Rufus had when he spoke to Rabbi Akiva in Mesechas Bava Basra. There, Turnus Rufus told Rabbi Akiva or asked him, "Imelekechem leivanim who madua inim mefarnesav." It's really the case that God loves the poor. Why is it the case that He does not give them sustenance? Why doesn't He sustain them? Clearly, then, Turnus Rufus assumes that God does not love the poor, and if He doesn't love the poor, I shouldn't love them either, and I should not give them my money. Does taste as mitzad zayn gruys alten zich machter bezich cheshb. Given Turnus Rufus's or given anyone's egotism, they make the following calculus: as das sefer mocht is das vaylem kumt, that which one has, they have that because it's coming to them. When other abba es kumt im mer when vi zeshayach avekem derfun. The fact that providence is ordained that things are going good for you, it must be the case that you in fact deserve, it's coming to you to get more. So why in fact then should you give of what you have to others? Egotism doesn't allow for the other's existence to be. Instead of egotism, you're very happy that the other is not equal to you, that you are superior to the other, that you have power that the other does not have. Is b'meila bayim zelfverständlich as das was der Zweiter is an Oriman. So for an egotistical person, it's self-understood that the pauper is as violent and Zweiter kommt nicht. It's because the person is poor because good things are not coming to that person. U'v'meila trachter bei sich. So it follows that this rich person now thinks, wie bald does the Eibisch reveal? Wie sie Gerechtigkeit is as jener soll sein ani soll ihm geben. Given that God wants, it's justified the other should be poor, so why should I give him money? Dakeg, and in contrast, then there is battle. If a person does not have a big ego, and if a person nullifies their ego, then they'll make a different calculus when it comes to considering the pauper. A person makes a calculus and a judgment themselves. See, is there take besser friend Satan? Am I in fact any better than the other? Und der Cheshbon bringt ihm zu geben tzedakah. And that calculus brings him to give tzedakah, to give out money. Ukimay shakasuv, as it says, Mishabu tzedakah b'yakev atas sisa, that Hashem has done judgment and righteousness within the Jewish people. As der mishpat v'remach, ibir zich bringt ihm zu tzedakah. That the mishpat, that the judgment that one does, brings him to give tzedakah. Meaning, a person makes the correct calculus and sees that what he has is not coming to him, what he has is God's gift. So if God has given you a gift, then and it's not coming to you, then it follows you should share that gift with others. Bays. If a person stands in a state of bittul, in a state of self-nullification, then they understand the second point. First tether, one understands, even if it is the case, the reason why another person does not have good things is as a result of some divine punishment, heaven forbid, is das der hat ja, the fact that you in fact do have resources, nit kucken dik if sein eigenem nit guten matzvu maimid, that Hashem has given you resources, despite the fact that you yourself are very imperfect. Sing das ihm zu sagen, as men is beim Ebersten wie Kinder, und beist der Melch straft seine beim eigenems Kind, und ein Freund von Melch tut ihm atoiva, is der Melch allein sehr zufrieden von dem. So you're meant to reflect on two things. Number one, although it's the case that Hashem may be punishing this person, number one, Hashem has given you things, and you yourself are not so perfect. So given your imperfection, you should have mercy on another person who is also imperfect and is being punished, and share what you have with the other. But furthermore, as Rabbi Akiva told to us there in the Gemara, if a king punishes his son, and then a friend of the king sees the son and decides that he's going to help the son out, the king is happy. Because although it's the case the king needs to punish the son for whatever reason, he's happy that other people are looking out for the son, because ultimately the king loves the son. And given that every Jew is a son of Hashem, so it follows that we should look out for Hashem's children who are in need. And just as it is by tzedakah, so it is in all mitzvahs that those who are egotistical will find reasons to get out of doing the mitzvah, and those who are in a state of self-nullification will find reasons to do the mitzvah. As chutz dem was mitzad halten sich reis zucht rev yeder zach chesbin as er fiert sich oi vi es darf zu sein is noch mehr afilu dan er ken bishum oif nit gifin kein teirutz und muss meide sein as er fiert sich oif nit wie men darf gifin der aber ois verschiedene sibis was haben gebracht zu dem und wenn meile blabt arz bleibt er als gerecht bei sich. The Rebbe says, if a person is egotistical, if a person thinks themselves to be a great person, then it might come out that even if the person is not able to explain why their behavior is in fact justified, the behavior itself, they can find reasons surrounding their behavior which justify why it is that it's okay that they made the mistakes they did. A tainus fashion in the tainus. So this egotistical person will make all sorts of arguments. If einzach tainet there dos mitzad mitzahara, was hitzui buyer ka'ish, say nitzahara brent via fire. Person might say, the reason why I sinned in the way that I did is because I have a yitzara, I have an evil inclination. My evil inclination burns like a fire. The Gemara leinzakdach, the Gemara itself, in Mesach HaSukkah tells us, as the Ebshot HaChariyotah if them was a pashaf in the yitzara. Hashem regrets the fact that he created a yitzara. So therefore, if Hashem himself regrets creating the Yetzirah, why is Hashem demanding that I should overcome the Yetzirah? If it's faith is achtainet there, but on the other hand, the person argues, as that his place, that the context in which he's in, caused him to sin. Zain or bring him to zindikin zayvaiter. That the reason why I sin is a function of circumstances. It's about the people who I'm around. It's about my parents, who I grew up with. It's the nature of society and the way society influences me. The alachesh benes velache verinder monten in Tanya. All of the different calculi, which is discussed in Perek Lamed in chapter 30 of Tanya, as mendaf from Lamed zchuz zayin if yenim, that you're meant to think good, and you're meant to judge other people favorably, a person applies all those various calculi to himself. Based on the context which a person finds themselves, which the person is found, is it's very good that he is the way he is, and if he's flawed, nonetheless, it's justifiable given his context. Another person who is in my situation, who knows how that person would have turned out? And I'm pretty good, all things being equal. Nochmer, and moreover. As an offering is nit kein gute. Even if you know that your behavior is bad. On ken sibis in vos zu onegen sein offering hat er euch nit. And he doesn't even have grounds to justify his bad behavior. From that stage, nonetheless, as the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis tells us, Al kol pshom t'chas ava. Love covers over all flaws. The yidduk from the mvart pshoim is, and why specifically does Mishlei use the word pishoim, which means rebellious sins, as opposed to a chait, a inadvertent sin, or an oven, a sin of passion. Why does Mishlei particularly use the word pshoim? Pshoim, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, in Daf Lam Vav Mebeis, Elu Hamardim. This refers to those who rebel against Hashem. Hot nit kein for enfer. This person has no justification for explaining his bad behavior. On Veis Alein, Azar is a Mayrit, and he himself knows that he is a rebel, that he rebels against Hashem, he rebels against the divine yoke. For the Stegin, nonetheless, Chas Ava, his self-love covers it over. Milvatel zayin afilu mit taina sheker. Kenner nit b'shum oifin. Fardekter dos mit avas atzmoi zayin belivtshav zu zichalim. There are some cases where a person can't even justify their bad behavior with false narratives. But nonetheless, one's self-love is capable of covering over all their flaws and allowing them to live with themselves. And also their chiluk from chametz is matzah. That explains the distinction, the difference between chametz and matzah. Chametz is zelps der hoibung. Chametz means raising oneself up. Chametz is mitaches. Chametz is some, comes with a ches. Vos is often von unten la pesach atas revitz, which is open on the bottom, symbolizing that sin cursed the door. Asosum mikol tzad, termacht von alle seiten. It's closed on all sides. And with nitkein pesach tshuvatam. Such person doesn't have any opening to do tshuva. Vayel. Mitzad his nasus, for enfiter zain firung, adas is gergut. Based on one's self-elevation, they answer up, they justify their bad behavior, that they're very good people. And beis gifint sibis unterutzim of zanhaga. And they also find, even if they cannot justify the essential act, they can justify the context in which they're in. Say, this context makes it such that it's okay that I'm engaging in this bad behavior. And gimel, even if they can't justify their bad behavior, given the context, they're able to live peacefully with themselves based on the pasuk in Mishlei of Al-Kop Shoim T'chas Aveh, that love, self-love, covers over all flaws. Hatzad Ashaveh, but what is the common denominator between all of these 3 points? Er tutnit kein tshuva. That the person does not return to Hashem, the person does not try to better their bad behavior. Matzah is bittul. Matzah symbolizes self-nullification. Matzah is mitahei psuach lemaile. Vos is often from oibin. Vayel mitzada bittul, aleph, for enfeter nit zayran hago. Matzah has a hey, it's open above, and that's a result of one's bittul, as a result of one's self-nullification. So as a result, one does not try to explain away their bad behaviors. Beis, they also don't seek to acknowledge that their behavior is bad, but they can justify it given the way they were raised or given their societal context. And gimel, when one sees, when one recognizes the bad situation which they're in, is there tzibrachan from them. It's not that they're able to live okay with it, that they're able to be silent with it, but rather they're broken by it. Tzibrachenkeit, brokenness, is wie der Rebbe Meirash hat gesagt. It's as the Rebbe Meirash taught. A Yiddish krechts is tshuva illah. A Jewish sigh is higher tshuva. And a higher tshuva means not merely feeling bad about one's behavior, but a strong desire, strong longing to return to Hashem, to return to one's core self. Uve mele is in ein shah, mit ein ker, Sham Lashon Hafono. Ve'eter atzad the gamer. With one, in one moment and with one turn, and very often the word vayisha in Tanakh means that a person turns. The Rebbe interprets Shah as one pivot, as in one change of perspective, instantaneous change of perspective, change in perspective, one can turn from being a Rasha into a tzaddik. Meaning, if a person is in a state of regret, and a person who recognizes their bad behavior wants to change their bad behavior, that can be a new beginning. Dermit, therewith, with what we've learned thus far in the Sicha, Venten Farstein, Vasen Yerushalmi, Lenter Ab, Tem Limud, Von Nam Tes Malachis, Von Dem Vart, Eila Hadvar. Now we can understand what the Yerushalmi tells us about the Lamed Tes Malachis, about the words Eila Hadvar. Darshint Dem He, Von Eila, Aziv Yisvolt Given, Aches. The Yerushalmi darshins the word Eila, Aleph Lamed He, as if the Eila were a ches. But after vort Eila, 9 and 36. So it comes out, the word Eila comes out as 39. Meaning, Eila is composed of the letters Aleph Lamed He. Aleph in Gematria equals 1, Lamed equals 30, and He equals 5. So it comes out, if you have the word Eila, then Eila comes out to the Gematria of 36. But if you read the He as a Ches, then it comes out as 39. So the Yerushalmi tell in Shabbos Perek Zayin, the Perek Klal Gadol, which tells about 39 malachas, it says, how do Chazal know there are 39 categories of forbidden labor? Because with respect to the Mishkan, the Torah tells us Eila. And Eila, in the context of the Mishkan, Lechsa Mishkan, must mean 39. In Plug is Doch Koshe, Em is Take, as the Isis von Zelben Mitzvah verbeiten sich, Ob vidarshen men dem hei farches, und in innen von Misper. The Rebbe says it's very bizarre. How is it that Chazal are able to switch the hay out with the ches to learn that Ela means 39? It's true that we have a klal in Hebrew grammar, and this carries into Kabbalah, that you have hemetzoyes hapeh, you have five different areas of the mouth from which letters issue, and acha mehagarin, the letters aleph, ches, he, and ayin, are all throaty letters, that they are all motivated by the throat. So there's some association between the ches and the hey, since they're both coming from the throat. But how does that justify, the Rebbe asks, making this gematria that Ela could be read as Aleph Lamed Ches? Nor the Inyan is the answer is, Lamed is Malach Sundelt, is Mitzad Zeir Brion, is Havu Zain Zein Inyan von Ches, Kana. The 39 acts of labor, which are pertaining to the world, they are a ches. When we look at the world in itself, it seems the world in itself is a ches. It's the Pesach HaTesrevitz. It's standing above the ground, and it only leads towards destruction, only leads to sin, only leads to being stuck in a lower place. Nor durch der Avodah von Ela hadvar melech san mishkan sheisus yom tase melacha. That through engaging in the work of Ela HaDvarim, through engaging in Melech HaMishkan, through engaging in the world in an elevated way, and also through not being completely immersed in the work of this world, but realizing that we're doing it to serve some higher purpose, that our job, that our engagement in the world, that our making money, that our car, that our house, are not ends in and of themselves, but rather ends to serve a higher purpose, to serve a divine purpose. So thereby, machmen von zeh ahe. You turn the 39 malachas, which are a ches, into a he. And that's why the Rebbe is saying that fundamentally, the Ela Pekudei HaMishkan should be Aleph Lamed Ches. But through the fact that we're engaging in the Pekudei HaMishkan, that turns the he, rather, that turns the ches into a he. The fact that we're engaging in the world with a higher purpose in mind makes it such that there's an opening on top which allows us to connect to Hashem and not to fall into the world of egotism and the world of sin. Therefore, is in pasuk of Uret Vegan, der Avodah von Ela Advarim, Lamtas Melachis, Vizan given Mishkan, Zokter Ela Metahe, Valdur Chavodah, Machmen von Zei Ahe. And that's why in the pasuk which discusses the Avodah of the Mishkan, which deals with the Lamthas Malachis, that's why it has a hay, because through our work in this world, we make the ches into a hay. Let's summarize this Secha. On Pesach, one of the central mitzvahs, and the only ritual mitzvah, which is still a positive mitzvah the Reis nowadays, is the mitzvah of matzah. What does matzah symbolize in our spiritual service, and what does chametz symbolize in our spiritual service? So in the second sicha for Parshas Bo'i, the Rebbe discusses this issue. This is the second sicha for Parshas Bo'i in Lekutei Sichos Chelek Aleph. The Rebbe says, let's highlight two symbolic features of matzah. One is in the physical matzah, and the other is in matzah's name. We'll start with the physical feature of matzah. Matzah is flat, whereas chametz rises. Matzah's flatness, says the Rebbe, symbolizes that we are meant to be in a state of self-nullification, whereas chametz symbolizes egotism, and it symbolizes arrogance, raising oneself up, that it's puffy, it rises, but there's no real substance behind it. So that's the symbolic difference between chametz and matzah is the good way to be, and chametz, generally speaking, is the bad way to be. Now, there are complexities in this issue, but broadly speaking, that's the case. Fine. So that is point one about the difference between chametz and matzah, that matzah, its physical properties, symbolize self-nullification. Now, a further difference between chametz and matzah is that if you look at the letters of chametz and matzah, matzah is mem tzadi he, and chametz also has the letters mem and tzadi, but instead of a hey, it has a ches. What does this symbolize? So the Rebbe says both the hey and the ches are graphically very similar. They're both made of three lines. Both have an opening at the bottom. What does the opening at the bottom symbolize? It symbolizes what Hashem told Cain, La Pesach Chatos Revitz. Sin crouches at the door, and you will be drawn to sin, but you have the ability to overcome it. But if there's only an opening on the bottom, says the Rebbe, that symbolizes a certain inevitability of us falling down into the abyss of sin, which invites us, which calls to us, which seems almost natural to fall into. That is the opening at both the bottom of the Ches and the He. What does the opening at the top of the He symbolize? It symbolizes that although it's a very small, very narrow opening, you have the possibility to escape, you have the possibility to get out, you have the possibility to break out of your chains and rise above and connect to Hashem and to live an illuminated life. And the Rebbe says these two points of, on the one hand, the matzah's physical property and of its letter properties are dependent one on the other. If a person is a chametz-thicke person, if a person is an egotistical person, then a person will always fall into sin and a person will never repent. First, if a person engages in bad behaviors, they'll find all sorts of reasons to explain why the things which look bad to other people are in fact justified for whatever reason, but that the behaviors themselves are inherently justified. Then there'll be some cases where the misbehavior is so egregious that you won't be able to explain why the behavior is inherently justified, but you'll be able to explain that there are some circumstances, external circumstances, let's say that my parents raised me in the wrong way, my parents spoiled me too much, my parents spoiled me too little, or perhaps I had bad friends, or I grew up in a bad society, or I saw a bad message on television. You'll have all sorts of reasons to explain why, even though my behavior was in fact bad behavior, there are contextual reasons which justify it. Or finally, a person may not even have contextual reasons to justify their bad behavior, but self-love is extremely powerful. As a pasuk in Mishle tells us, Al kol pshoim techasa ava, that love can cover over all sins, can cover over all character flaws. So even though you don't have any justification to explain your bad behavior, nonetheless, you're able to live quietly with yourself. So the Rebbe says, therefore, egotism is the generator. It's what allows people to live lives of sin, to live flawed lives, and to fall deeper and deeper into negative behavior and patterns that are destructive to themselves, to the world, and to others. In contrast, if a person is a matzadik person, if a person lives in a state of self-nullification, if a person doesn't think that they're the greatest gift that came to humanity, and if a person is open to exploring their character flaws, then number one, they'll be able to recognize that they're engaging in bad behaviors, and they'll want to change that. Number two, once they've engaged in a bad behavior, they won't try to justify their bad behavior. They'll ask, how can I change? And then finally, even if, for whatever reason, they've justified their bad behaviors, ultimately, when they honestly reflect, they'll be broken by their bad behavior and they'll want to change. So it turns out that chametz and matzah are not just rituals that we engage in on Pesach, but they are a year-long, lifelong recipe for extracting ourselves from sin, understanding how it is that people fall very, very low and fall into unthinkable behaviors or bad behaviors or remain destructive patterns themselves and for others for many years. And we also see the antidote for how one can extract themselves from such a place, and that is through a sense of lowering one's ego, lowering oneself, and engaging in the work of self-nullification.